This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I think we all know that story of the tortoise and the hare. The rabbit and the turtle both challenged each other to a race, and the rabbit was very confident that he was going to win. Therefore, the rabbit didn't take the race seriously. He fooled around, he took breaks, and eventually he took a nap. But when the rabbit woke up, he noticed that the tortoise had won the race. The tortoise took the race very seriously. The tortoise didn't fool around. The tortoise didn't look back, but he pressed on to win. And Paul uses this same type of analogy of a race here in these words. And he uses this analogy to encourage all of us to press on to win the prize that God has called us heavenward to. To not look back, but to look forward. To encourage one another. And just to hold onto Christ. Paul said, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." At first glance, these words from Paul may seem a little confusing. It may seem like Paul is saying that he hasn't obtained salvation yet. It may seem like Paul doesn't have a firm hold onto Christ. It may even seem like Paul is saying that he has to work to do something to win this prize. But that's not what Paul is saying here. Verses right before this, Paul talks about that he wasn't declared righteous because of all the things that he had done in his life. Paul says, "I consider all those righteous things to be like garbage." But instead, Paul's confidence was that he was righteous through faith in Christ. So then what does Paul mean here when he says, "I haven't obtained all of these things, I haven't been made perfect, I haven't yet taken hold of it"? Well, even though salvation was guaranteed for Paul and for you and for me, Paul had yet to receive all the blessings of salvation in their fullest form. Paul was still living here in this world. He had not passed away to be with Christ in heaven, nor had Christ returned to raise the dead. And so that's why Paul says, "I stress on to win this prize that God has called me heavenward to." And you and I do the same thing. We stress on to win the prize that God has called us heavenward to, but it's not always easy. It's not easy because of those sufferings, those hardships, those trials that we go through. Listen very closely once again to what Paul said. "I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Christ Jesus has already taken hold of us. And since he holds on to us, he promises that he will be there for us in every way, no matter what we go through. Look at Jesus' ministry and all the people that he held on to. One time a man with leprosy came to Jesus and said, "If you are willing, have pity on me to heal me." And Jesus took pity on that man. He touched him. He held on to him and he healed him. When Peter, who was so confident to walk on water to Jesus, saw the winds and the waves, and he began to doubt, He fell into the sea and he cried out to help from Jesus so that he will not die. And immediately Jesus took hold of Peter and rescued him from death. When Jesus saw the son of a widow who was dead and being carried out of the city, Jesus walked up to the casket. He touched the dead son, held on to him, raised him to life, and handed him back to his mother. And when Paul, who had no desire to hold on to Christ, but only to hold on to Christians to persecute them, Jesus appeared to Paul, took hold of his soul, and brought him to faith in him. Christ Jesus took hold of all of these people, and he also takes hold of us to help us in the same way. When we approach God and say, "Have pity on me and help me in this way," Jesus, who has taken hold of us, takes pity and helps us. When we, like Peter, have our doubts and our worries, or we may be in a situation and we feel like we're going to die, Christ Jesus, who has taken hold of us, will help us through those struggles. When we lose a loved one, Christ Jesus comforts us with the gospel. For he assures us that he is the resurrection and the life. And that loved one who was a believer who passed away, Christ took hold of him or her and brought them to heaven. And when we were still enemies of God who had no desire to take hold of him, Christ Jesus took hold of our souls and brought us to faith in him. Christ Jesus has taken hold of us, and he promises that nothing will snatch us from his hand. He promises that he will never let us go. Therefore, knowing the fact that Christ Jesus holds on to us gives us confidence to hold on to him. And maybe for each and every one of you, you have this firm hold on Christ, that you have a faith that cannot be shaken, and praise God for that. But there are other Christians who may not have that firm hold onto Christ. Therefore, Paul says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. So for us who are mature in the faith, we are to hold on to the example that Paul gives us here. But for those who may be weak in their faith, and maybe even for you, you may think differently about these things. Because your logic tells you that you should be angry with God when certain things happen as you follow him. Logic tells you that maybe you should doubt God when things happen. Logic says that maybe you shouldn't hold on to Christ, but just let him go. And here Paul says, hold on to God and his word. For by doing so, God will make all things clear to us, so that we will no longer be angry with God, but to fully believe in him. Not to doubt him, but to trust in him. Not to let him go, but to hold firmly onto Christ. And brothers and sisters, remember that you are not alone. It's so easy for us to put ourselves in an island and think no one knows what we go through and no one is there to help us. Remember that you have other brothers and sisters of the faith who are there for you to share in your sufferings, to carry each other's burdens, to pray for one another, and to encourage each of us to follow the pattern that Paul gives us here. straining on toward to win the goal which God has called us heavenward to hold on to Christ. But unfortunately, there are those who do let go of Christ. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Very likely these enemies that Paul grieves for were former Christians. Christians who have let go of Christ instead of holding on to Him. Christians who had been blinded by Satan and all of his lies. And the devil tries to do the same with you and for me. Scripture says that if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. Satan can easily tempt us to have our mind be focused on earthly things, to live for the here and the now, and to refuse to produce those fruits of faith, the fruits of the Spirit that God desires from us. Satan can easily tempt us to rejoice in our own glory, to brag about everything that we have done, to think that we are good people and therefore God should be happy with us. Yet Scripture says, without faith it is impossible to please God, and even the good works that we do are like filthy rags because they are tainted with sin. And yet when we put our confidence in our own glory, it is to our shame, because there is nothing glorious about us. Satan can tempt us to have our God be our stomachs. And just think of how our sinful nature is just like a stomach, with all of its cravings and its desires. Whether it's greed, gluttony, drunkenness, sexual immorality, and the like. And these cravings, they keep coming back to us again and again and again. And we think that the only thing that we can do is just to satisfy those cravings. And Scripture says that those who live this way will not inherit eternal life. And so, as Paul says here, our destiny can be destruction. Destruction in hell because we have let go of Christ and instead taken hold of Satan. And why are we even tempted to do this? What has Satan done for you? Has Satan lived a perfect life on your behalf? Has the devil died to take away your sins? Does Satan hold on to you for your good? Satan is our enemy. The devil is a liar. And as Jesus said, Satan was a murderer from the beginning, and he only desires to murder our souls. Satan has done nothing for us. He only wants to hold on to us, to accuse us, and to lie to us in order to harm and kill us. But Christ has done everything for us. Christ pressed on to win His goal by winning us back to Him. Christ took hold on to us. He did that by becoming one with us. He made Himself a helpless child who had to hold on to his parents for help. And when he grew up and he experienced struggles and pain, he still held on to his heavenly Father to help and to protect him. And Jesus allowed others to hold on to him, to drag him to a cross, so that Christ could die for all of our sins. Christ took hold onto us, so let us take hold onto Him. For as we do, we will be saved. For as we hold on to Christ, we no longer rejoice in our glory, which is to our shame, but we rejoice in Christ's glory. As we hold on to Christ, we have our mind set on heavenly things and not on earthly things. As we set our mind on Christ, our destiny is not destruction, but salvation, which is what Paul goes on to say. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. We are heirs of heaven. Our citizenship is there. Christ is preparing a place for us right now in heaven. And since He is preparing a place for us, He will come back to take us to be with Him. And when He does, He will transform our lowly bodies to be like His body, which means we will no longer experience pain or suffering. We will no longer have sin and its cravings, but we will be perfect and glorious and holy, just like Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters in Christ, let us hold on to Christ. Let us follow the example that Paul gives here. For Paul himself followed this example. One of the last things that Paul ever wrote in his life were these words: I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will award to me, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. Let us fight the good fight. Let us run the race. Let us keep the faith by holding on to Christ, for Christ has taken hold of us. He has rescued us from the devil and his destruction. He gives us brothers and sisters in Christ who encourage us to continue to hold on to Him. And He is preparing a place for us in heaven, which He will take us to be there and transform our bodies to be like His glorious body. Therefore, take hold of Christ, who is life, and it shall be your joy and your crown eternally. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the Friendship Register in your pew.